we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in one more time to the Refresh Radio broadcast. It's Wednesday, and this is the last Wednesday. We're going to be having services for a couple of weeks, so we will not be having Wednesday services next week as people are preparing for Thanksgiving dinner. So we just want to give you a heads up on that. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I do pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. And we want to welcome you to the Refresh Radio broadcast today right here on WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM. And if you are looking to spruce up your home for the holidays, some people that I know, they're doing a lot of renovation on their house to try and get it ready. But if you are needing some block or concrete work done, maybe you need a driveway repaired, a fence repaired, anything that involves concrete or block work, I want to recommend to you the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. They have been professionally doing concrete work in Brevard County and at Merritt Assembly of God for decades now. I believe the first work they did around Merritt Assembly of God went back to the mid to late 80s, and they have been a part of our church ever since then, and did a concrete project for us, a beautiful, beautiful job here just a couple of years ago that really did enhance our property and make it easier to get around. So if you need some block work done, concrete work done, whatever it might be, give the folks at Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. Tell them Bob Arthurs recommended you on the Refresh Radio program. We always like it when our sponsors get to hear that that there were people who were listening to the radio broadcast that need their services. So with that being said, this is going to be the last week that we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, which is long-suffering, patience. It is continually enduring patiently with joy. And so we're in the book of Revelation now. We've worked progressively through this, and we are in the book of Revelation because the book of Revelation talks about this patient endurance of the saints more than any other book that I could find. And so today we are going to be in Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2. And today I would tell you that that patience is not enough. It's not going to be the only factor that gets you there. It's something that is essential. It is something that is called for. We'll talk about that more on broadcast later this week. But it is not an exclusive, you know, just because I'm patient, that's going to get me everything that I want. So I want to take you to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to be talking and touching on a couple of different churches that are mentioned here. First of all, the church of Ephesus, and then a little while later, we're going to get down and discuss the church of Thyatira. That'll either be today or tomorrow, just depending upon how far we get. So let me take you to Revelation chapter 1 and begin reading at verse number 1. Okay, and so there are seven letters that Paul writes to the seven churches, and Ephesus is the very first church. That's either a good thing or it's a bad thing. Ephesus was the letter, was the church that the letter to the Ephesians by the Apostle Paul was written to. It's the letter that talks about the armor of God. And, you know, praise God, it's been a very encouraging letter through the years. But as time goes on, sometimes things that started off wonderfully begin to deviate from the course. And so listen to what Jesus admonishes John to write to the church of Ephesus. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from this tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now, I want to put this in a manner in which it makes sense. For us as human beings, we don't tend to notice when people are being patient. We tend to notice when people are being impatient. It is the flaw that begins to magnify itself to the point that humanity takes notice of it. But I want you to see that the exact opposite is true when it comes to God. He starts off writing to this church and he says, "I want you to understand what I know about you." The personal awareness that the God who created the cosmos, which our astrophysicists use light years to try and understand and measure the width and the length of it, that God who created all of that, he cares so much about you that he knows everything there is to know about you. He knows where you are. He knows your name. He knows the color of your hair. He knows the numbers of hairs that you have on your head. He knows the thoughts that you think and the intent that you have in your heart. You see, there are many times where you can do something with good intentions, but yet because of miscommunication or whatever, those things can be misconstrued. They can be twisted and distorted. You know, right now there are some people who are really good at this who take something and they will twist it as much as they can, edit it as much as is necessary just to make someone look bad. Other people take it and they do the exact same thing only to make themselves look good. But God knows the reality of every circumstance. He knows the reality of all 7+ billion people on the planet right now. And so let me tell you just a little bit about what it says. He says, "I know your works. I know your labor." He said, "I know what you do. I know the effort that you put into it." He said, "I know your patience." He said, "Look, wouldn't that be awesome if every church in Brevard County was known for the level of cheerfulness that they do, the level of long suffering, the level of patience that they have, the level of endurance that they're not in this just as a fly-by-night operation, but they are in this for the long haul. They are in it because God is going to lead them in triumphal procession." Wouldn't that be a great thing for churches to be known? That we work for the glory of God. We labor intently. We are patient with people. We are long-suffering. And that we cannot bear those who are evil. In other words, we are a people who not only talk about holiness, we are a people who demonstrate holiness. We live for the sake of holiness. Those are some wonderful, wonderful things to be known for. Now, if you turn over to Revelation chapter 2, well, you're still in chapter 2, but drop down to verse number 18. I want to talk to you about the church at Thyatira. It says there, and to the, in verse number 18, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works. I know your love, your service, your faith, and your patience. As for your works, the last are, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. Okay, so we're just going to talk about those sorts of things here today that are on the positive side of the equation. Here to this church, God begins to describe himself. He describes himself with eyes that are like a flame of fire and feet that are like fine brass. In other words, he is describing this piercing look that he has to be able to see into the innermost recesses of a person's life, and that it describes that even down to his feet. Now, I know people, they don't touch my feet. They've got this thing. I spent 11 years in the shoe industry, and so I've dealt with a lot of feet. You know, I tell people I've been dealing with soles and heels all my life. And so when I quit dealing with soles of shoes, I was already dealing with soles of men. And, you know, we talked about heels, and I could tell people where to go to get their heels fixed, and I can tell you where to go to get healing. But I also dealt with some people who were more like the heels of shoes than they were. That's just an old Christian shoe joke. But really, in all honesty, there were a lot of notable historical figures that came out of shoe sales. And I don't know why that is, but it is the case. So here he Jesus is describing himself in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 18. He says, I want you to understand how glorious I am. And then he said, I know your works. Now, the love that is mentioned here tended to be lacking in Ephesus. And it's very important that we don't miss that aspect, because it's Jesus had told his disciples, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. He says, I know your service. He says, I know your faith. And I know your patience. And as to your works, the last are more than the first. In other words, they are continuing to do. There are a lot of commendable things that are going on at Thyatira. And I want you to, I want to take this part of the broadcast today to build you up, that God knows not only those things that are wrong about you, he knows those things that are right. And many times people will try and assault other people verbally, emotionally, because of the things that are wrong with them. And I want to take just a little bit of time to say, hey, God knows the things that he has worked in your life and that you are implementing in your life, that they are commendable. They are applaudable. They are things that you should not stop doing. So if you are the church of Ephesus, don't stop your work. Don't stop your labor. For heaven's sake, do not stop producing the fruit of the Spirit, which is long-suffering or patience. Do not lose your standard of holiness. I will say this, revival has never in the history of mankind come to a church that lowered the standard of holiness. It only comes to those churches that elevate the standard of holiness. So please do not institute compromise in the area of holiness. You will never regret having a standard of holiness that is according to biblical standards, that is written on your heart. You will never regret or have to repent of doing the right thing. But there are a lot of people who lower the standard of righteousness, and they have to repent of those things that they have lowered the standard of holiness. So you get into Thyatira, and he talks about your work. He talks about the love. He talks about the service or the labor. But here he commends this church for its faith as well as for its patience, and that those things are increasing. Everything sounds great. Everything sounds glorious. But I want you to know that patient endurance on the part of the saints is not an end to itself. Even though it's commendable, it has to manifest in other areas. Okay, so let's go back to the church of Ephesus. He says, I know that you have persevered. And again, that ties in with the endurance aspect. And you have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake. He says, I know all of those things, and on top of that, you haven't become weary. Okay? That is absolutely, completely, and totally commendable. I wish that would stop, but the commending would stop there. But both the church in Ephesus and the church in Thyatira, unfortunately, that is not the end of the speech for them. It goes in to a series for both of these churches where the word nevertheless is used. It is in verse number 4. And it is in verse number 20. To the church of Ephesus, Jesus says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Okay? So I want to talk to those people out there today who you haven't given up. You've labored for the sake of Jesus. You have refused to get tired. You have been patient. You have persevered. You have a standard of holiness. You are doing everything right. That's the person I want to talk to right now. And I want to ask you this question. How is your love level? How is your unconditional love when it comes to God? There's an old story that a person said. This was back in the day. To tell you how far back this story goes, this goes back to a time where there was a continuous seat across the front. There wasn't a driver's seat and a passenger seat. There was a bench seat in there. You would see this a lot of time in pickup trucks. You don't see it too much anymore. But back when they had bench seats, and this wise person said, I can tell the level of a relationship in another couple as they're driving down the road. And they said, well, do you know them? And he said, no, I don't have to. He said, well, how can you tell? And he said, well, if I'm looking at a couple and she is scooted all the way across and she is sitting in the middle seat rather than sitting in over next to the window, I can tell that is a couple that is wonderfully, wonderfully in love. They're probably just in that early stages of their relationship where infatuation is running high and the love level. He said, right now that couple is happier than they've ever been before in their life, and they don't want anything to separate them. And so she just scoots over and she sits next to her husband or boyfriend as they're driving. He said, but if I look and I see a person who is, you know, they haven't gone all the way over, but there's some distance. I can tell you that their love is beginning to morph a little bit, and they don't have to set over quite so close. And then if I'm looking and the person is completely on the other side of the vehicle, and rather than pay attention to the person that's driving, they've got their eyes focused on everything that is going on outside of the vehicle instead of things that are going on inside of the vehicle with the person that they're supposed to be in love with. Said that's a couple whose relationship is in trouble. And you might say, well, that's kind of superficial, and so I will give that to you. But let me ask you this: what do you use to measure the passion that you are supposed to have for this person who died upon the cross so that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I don't know about you, but I want my love to be a boiling passion. If you look up the meaning of the word David, you would find that his name means loving. The etymology of his name means loving. But if you look at the words that that is used as the foundational word for that, if you take it back one step, you will find that word meant a boiling passion. It was something that was stirring. It wasn't just an emotion. It was something that was stirring deep inside of them. If you ever look at boiling water, it is something that is raging. That is not just superficial. It's not a little bubble here. It is something that is so hot on the inside that it will transform anything that gets dropped down into it. And so I want to ask you today, how's your love for God? Is it? Because here's what Jesus said: I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you also hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give you to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So God says, don't settle with a love for me that is waning, but stir up again. Remember where you've come from. Remember what got you here. Remember that love is the core identification characteristic of believers, and it is not supposed to be a lukewarm love. It is not supposed to be an apathetic love. It's not supposed to be a complacent love. It is supposed to be a love that intensifies the longer you go. It's not supposed to be a diminishing characteristic. It is supposed to be intensifying. So please do not sacrifice love at the altar of patience or ministry or activity. Don't sacrifice the love. It is not one or the other. It is a both and. Okay? So let's drop down to the latter parts of Revelation chapter 2. And it says there, verse number 20, nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will, and you can go on and read the rest of it that it is talked about there. We're probably not going to get to everything that is discussed with the Church of Thyatira today, but I do want to let you know that God says here, I have demonstrated patience. It says specifically in verse number 21, I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality. There are certain things that are not supposed to be in the house of God. I want you to know that. In fact, if you look at the structure of the temple, you would find that as it went along, there was limited access. Fewer and fewer people were granted access. The further you went on the outsides, there was the court of the Gentiles. But there came to a room at some point in time that only the high priest was allowed to go in, and that only once a year. It took our high priest coming and dying upon the cross to grant us access to the presence of God on a global scale, on an individual scale. He says, I'm tired of trying to deal with this on a once-a-year basis. I'm looking for the holiness of God to permeate throughout the society of men. I want the veil torn so that everyone can see what holiness looks like. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, look, there are things that are mentioned that are going on inside your church that aren't even talked about outside the church. And I want just to mention to you today that patient endurance is not at the expense of biblical truth. And Jesus is patient. He says, what's going on inside this church in Thyatira right now is that there are people actually teaching, condoning, endorsing, seducing, and practicing immorality. And he said, I want you to know where I've been up till this point in time. I've been exhibiting patience with you, but the time is coming where you're going to need to repent of those sins and allow me to deliver those things from you victoriously. Okay? So I just want to encourage you today. Do not allow the immorality of the world to permeate the church. The church is supposed to be the bride of Christ. We are committed to him. Okay? We are betrothed to him. That's what the church, or what eternity is all about, is us getting to spend time with him. And I don't want anybody to miss out for some cheap substitute that the devil has to offer for you. Today, don't have just a whole bunch of good things going on, but you've lacked that committed relationship to God, that covenant relationship with God, and now you're actually teaching people that it's okay. I want to call us back to where God intends us to be. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I'm